Welcome to the 2001 Professional Developers Conference. I'm Erica Wickers with the PDC News Update for Thursday, October 25th. On this day in 1870, postcards were first used in the U.S. The first electronic wristwatch hit the markets in 1960, and in 1964, the Rolling Stones appeared on the Ed Sullivan Show. Top story today, Microsoft launches Windows XP from New York City. To thank you for joining us to watch the live launch this morning, we're offering the Windows XP Professional CD to all attendees. You can pick up your copy at the South Lobby Registration Desk or West Lobby Coat Check. These will be available all day. It was great that so many of you made it to the Counting Crows concert. Here are some of the highlights. Today's great partner sessions in the theater, Room 411, include Tata Consultancy Services, Intel, Snapstream Media, Compaq, FYE, and Groove Networks. Also in the theater this morning, we'll be taping the next episode of the .NET Show live in front of a studio audience from 10:15 to 11:30 a.m. Then this afternoon at 5:30, Robert Hess will host a special MSDN architectural review. Seating is limited, so be sure to get there early. You'll have a chance to talk directly to speakers and various technology experts from Microsoft tonight at the Ask the Expert session that runs from 6 to 9 p.m. in Hall A. Please continue to check the housekeeping monitors or ComNet for detailed updates on session changes as well as a schedule for repeat sessions. And this has been your daily PDC News Update. Now please welcome the host of the .NET Show and your host this week for the PDC, Robert Hess.
Good morning. I hope you all enjoyed the concert last night. I know I did. And it's good to see so many people bright-eyed and cheery this morning. Now, hey, I actually got to sleep in. I normally get to work at 6 o'clock in the morning, so this is late for me. So one thing I'd like to point out is that we wanted to take and handing you out box copies as you came in. However, there were some security and logistic issues that made that just impossible. So instead, what we're doing is immediately following the Windows launch event, you'll be able to go down to registration, show them your attendee badge, and they'll give you a boxed retail product of Microsoft Professional Edition of Windows XP. Every attendee gets one. All day long, you'll be able to get them, so there's no need to rush, no need to hurry. We have enough for all of you. So be sure to pick up your copy of Windows XP Professional Edition. Now, as Erica mentioned, we have updates on the ComNet about different breakout sessions and such. When we have sessions that overrun, we try to make sure we replay those again the next day so everyone has a chance to go to the sessions that are important. Now, there is one session that we added at 8:30, so it's immediately following the Windows XP launch event. And that's Mark Levikowski is redoing his BSV 304, which was the intro to .NET My Services. And that's in room 402 A and B. And that's immediately following the event, so you wouldn't have a chance to get on the ComNet and find out about that. Now, I'm glad to see all you here just raring to see about Windows XP launch event. We've got a little bit of a preamble show going on with Michael Wallant telling about what Windows XP is and what you can expect with it. So sit back, hold tight. We'll do that for half an hour, and then we'll go straight to the launch event live from New York. Thanks a lot.
Good morning. Wow, this place is full. When we planned on doing this talk, they said, well, you know, we're going to launch XP today, and we're really excited about that. And boy, after working on it for a couple of years, I'm pretty excited about that as well. But they said, well, you know, we know that your developers have been working really hard for the past 6 months trying to think about what's next and what's new. And the thing we've really been focusing on is the smart client. And the thing I was thinking about this morning is, you know, we think about Microsoft developers not sleeping, and I'm thinking that a lot of the people in this room don't sleep either to get here at 7 o'clock in the morning on a Thursday or Wednesday, whatever day it is. Wednesday. So I want to thank you all for coming out here to help us launch Windows XP. We lose track of the days. It's kind of wacky. All right. So you've heard a lot about .NET, right? Lots about .NET, about how .NET is the foundation of the work that we're doing going forward. Just as you have started to experience .NET with the different betas we produced, our development teams are building on .NET today to create the next version of the smart client. And it's been pretty cool. Developers are more productive. The programming model is more consistent. And there's great development tools. And when we think about the parts, the critical parts of that rich .NET client, it thinks about all of the pieces we think about for those smart clients going forward. Applications that are easy to deploy, easy to install. Applications that start to harness the power of the PC. And applications that bring people together. We see the inkling of that, and that really ties into what we think some of the megatrends are that I'll speak to in a minute that drive smart clients going forward. Now, the interesting thing, over the past 10, 15 or so years, we've seen a steady migration, by and large, in the richness of the client, going from dumb terminals, 3270s, my first job. How about all those people who worked on a deck station, 20 years ago? Woohoo for deck stations, right? Yeah, VT100. I hated that stupid gray box. The white ones were a lot cooler, though. And then coming up from there, the character mode interfaces from the DOS systems. A little bit more functional, more processing power on the client, but still not great. Then Windows and OS 2 and the Mac really bring in GUIs, PC GUIs, a lot more rich. But then the weird thing happened with the net is we kind of took a detour on richness. We had great connectivity, great services, but in terms of how rich the applications were, not a lot of local processing power, which was kind of this weird jog. People still building client-server applications, but having deployment issues, and still some of the negatives related to that. What we see going forward for these next-generation clients is what we call the merger of the best of the web with the best of Win32, and that's what my team, because I run the smart client team at Microsoft in the Windows division, is all about. Oops. Got to hit the right button. One says F. Industry megatrends, like we talked about. So, bought a new PC a couple weeks ago, 2 gigahertz, unbelievable, half a gig of RAM. Oh my God, unbelievable. Can run these 3D games, it's so amazing, but yet I got mail from one of the developers in the Windows team 6 months or so ago, and he said, basically, because I used to run the Internet Explorer team, he said, "You guys suck." I said, "Why? Why do we suck? We're great. We're the, most popular thing that people use." It's really not an application. It's the most popular thing that people use ever, like 87% market share, which we think is good. Some people don't, but we do. And he said, "You guys can't scroll text without it tearing." Right? I'm like, "Hey, you're right. I can run Doom or, Tomb Raider at, 150 frames a second, but yet I can't scroll text." That's because when you write those Windows applications, those Windows GUI apps don't really harness the power of the PC. And when you try to write a DirectX game, you can harness the power of the PC, but there's this big switch. It's like, "Well, that's lousy. Don't do that." It's like, "You're right. That is lousy. We'll fix that." So one of the things that our smart client team is all about is harnessing the power of the PC, harnessing the power of graphics, harnessing the power of local storage, harnessing the amazing processing power that exists on those machines that's really kind of sitting there, kind of dormant in a lot of ways. The other real megatrend is that the smart client has got to be about connecting up people. One of the real amazing things that we've seen over the past couple of years is that when people go to use their PC, a lot of times they don't say, my wife doesn't say, "Hey, I'm going to go to the den and use the PC." She says, "Hey, I'm going to go buy groceries," or used to before Webvan went out of business. Webvan, that was awesome. I love that. Or, I'm going to go shopping, or I'm going to, do something. But it's about connecting. It's about finding someone else. It's about finding some service. It's about going outside of your silo, outside of your walls, and going outside to the cloud. PCs have to be about connecting people. When they connect people, they do far more than they could ever do simply by sitting there, just cranking along, doing random stuff. The other thing that's really critical, and the lesson we've learned, is that if you have great, powerful applications, and you have applications that connect people together, if you can't install them, it doesn't matter. If it's too expensive to maintain them, it doesn't matter. So these applications have just got to work. We believe in applications that just work, that are easy to install and easy to maintain. You see that today with the .NET framework, where it really tries to deliver that, and we'll do even more in the future with the Smart Client. The other thing we believe in is it's critical for these applications to be easily localizable. How many people here are not from the United States? Woohoo! Not from the United States. Your apps have got to work when it's in German, because, man, those German dialogue boxes, those are long. It's just got to work, right? How many people have just gone nuts trying to get the German word for okay, which is what? That's it. Farfignugen. No, I don't think that's it. Farfignugen does not fit on the OK button. It just doesn't. We have to make that better. We've got to make those apps work localized, globalized, also accessible. Lots of issues today with Section 508 requiring that for people to sell to the government. Who sells to the government here? Lots of people sell to the government. Government's a good source of money. When you sell applications to the government, they have to be accessible for everyone. So we want to make these applications just work. Windows needs to help you, the developer, harness these megatrends. Yes, you can do a lot of these things today, but damn, it's hard. And we need to make it not as hard. We need to make it trivial. So, what's our smart client strategy? We've talked about some of the things we see. Really focused on the current .NET offering. We realize that one of the mistakes we've made in the past is we say, hey, we've got this great new thing. Throw away everything you did before and do this great new thing. I don't think you guys are going to do that again. So we are building the smart client today on our current .NET offering, which is kind of cool because we get to use in what we call dog food our own stuff. We're big into dog food. Alpo, yum, yum. And it's also about focusing and leveraging between the client and the server. Done a great job in the client, done some stuff in the, I'm sorry, done a great job in the client, done a great job in the server with what you have today, but really we have to link those together in a more powerful sort of way. So, these smart client applications, what do we think they look like? We've talked about collaboration and communication being the key issues. It's pervasive. That's what everything's all about. It's about hooking up, finding people across the world, and getting your services. But the types of applications that we think that people will build, we think there's a category of these business intelligence application, the line of business application, the application that people run every day to get their job done. We think about the personal productivity applications like TurboTax or things like that, where people at home use these applications and use this functionality to get their lives done. Not their work, their lives. And then everyone wants to have fun. What good's a 2 gigahertz PC with that crazy NVIDIA chip if you can't play games and have fun on it, or edit your movies, or see the pictures of your kids from across town or across the world? Digital entertainment really key. The critical thing here is that we think there's a convergence of these types of applications. For example, you can imagine a real-time video conferencing application with text messaging back and forth that allows people to share information. It would be an example of a type of Unity application that fits right into the center there. So what do we do? Because in the end, we have to write some code. So we have to think about, yeah, we got this great vision, but in the end, what code do we actually write? So we've thought about three major areas of focus for work we need to do. The first is in the UI platform. The second is in what we call the graphics platform, or the graphics multimedia runtime area. And the third is around documents or e-documents. So let me drill into each one of those a little bit. UI platform, pretty simple. It's about building those form-based applications we see today on the web, whether those be VB-style applications or web-style browser-based applications. We need to do work in that space. What we're building is a new UI stack that goes all the way down to a new device driver model built on top of a high-powered graphics subsystem and a new system of building elements and controls on top of it, as well as powerful ways to lay those objects out in either a flow-oriented way like you see on the web, precise 2D ways you see with Windows applications, or more complex layouts, logical layouts that say, well, I want this to be there and that to be here, and if the OK button says Farfignugan, make it grow a little bit. The Farfignugan button is a critical feature of the smart client for Windows. And then sitting on top of that, new application models. How many people here run Outlook Web Access? Outlook Web Access is super cool. It's a version of Outlook that you can run from anywhere in the world on an Internet Explorer client or anywhere in the world not using the Internet Explorer client. And you can get to your mail. We're using it in the back room here today before the presentation. But the interesting thing is that here's this way to build an application that's mail that I run through a web browser. And there's this other way to run an application, which is double-click on the thingy on the desktop. Now, this weird dichotomy between a web application and an installed-on-the-desktop application, come on, I mean, that's kind of wacky. So we really think that we need to have new application paradigms where people just run their application. And whether it's an application that happens to get deployed automatically off the web and run and just gets cached, or whether it's a type of application that you have on your desktop that you can double-click on to start, it's just got to work. We have to have a new navigation metaphor and a new application metaphor that makes this work and unifies the web and unifies Win32 together. On the graphics side, we've seen many, many, many companies create graphics runtimes where we have great animation support, easy ways to move things around and create a really compelling user experience. A lot of times, these experiences fall down when it comes to displaying data or having integration with your back-end information system. We think that there shouldn't be a bright line between a UI application and some sort of graphics animation thing, that the UI application that wants to have a menu that drops down in an animated fashion, like what you see in Windows XP with the Luna experience, that's got to be just this easy, easy, easy thing to do. Now, I know the guys that wrote that, and they're like, you know, their brains barely fit inside their skull, and it keeps on popping out on the side because it was so hard to do. But we've got to make that just drop-dead easy to do because that's the level of experience that customers demand, and that's what we need to deliver and make it drop-dead simple for everyone to do. The third area around documents. It's hard to think about the difference between, in many ways, UI, graphics, and documents, because in many ways there's a convergence happening across all of those three things. Documents today are the lifeblood of many businesses, and these documents are becoming more and more interactive with automatic data access to the back end or special rights management. There are things about documents that it's hard to distinguish them between applications that you think about classically a few years ago. We think that we need to deliver solutions for documents around rights management, as I mentioned, around virtualization, so I can have, you know, 1,000 multi-page document and go to page 2 and have that just work. But the really critical thing is that a lot of the work that we talk about as it relates to documents or as it relates to UI or as it relates to graphics relates to all three of those things at the same time. The goal here is around integration. We take the digital rights management work that we've thought about, for example, around documents and making sure that only the right people get a mail message that you send. You know, how many times, I don't know if you guys have this problem, but we send out a strategic memo to a large set of people and it ends up on the front page of, you know, news.com. Wouldn't there be a great thing, or wouldn't it be a great world if people could control that? But that digital rights management solution, that same solution could be used to let you, the web service providers, actually get paid. Imagine a world where every time your web service was used, you could get paid and it would be managed through digital rights management. Or every time you deployed an application and it was used, you got paid or you had more control over that. That's the type of integration we think about when we think about the smart client. The other thing, which is certainly not an aside, is that this integrated system, graphics, UI, documents, has got to be tied together with really great tool support. You know, I don't know how many people want to author graphics animation in Notepad. No. Not going to happen. Microsoft will deliver critical tool support and important integrated tool support for all aspects of the smart client going forward. So these smart client applications, they're massively connected. They've got to be connected. Networking has got to be far easier and far simpler than it is. Hacking Winsock, not a good way to connect up your applications. They've got to be easy to install, easy to maintain. They've got to look modern. Windows XP sets a bar for that modern user interface that we'd like everyone to be able to drive going forward. Data has got to be integrated. Having applications that are online and offline and have that work seamlessly. Going back to my Outlook Web Access example, Outlook Web Access only works online, but Outlook works online and offline. That's got to be integrated. That's got to work better together. These applications have also got to be well-performing, extremely fast. Even though we've got that 2 gigahertz machine, we want to harness that power in more ways than just loading bloated software. We've got to deliver a solution for you that helps in that regard. Those applications have got to be robust. One of the key things about having those robust applications is letting you, the developer who builds those applications, know when the application fails and having you have better touch with your customers. We have interesting technology going forward that lets you automatically get notified whenever faults occur in your programs, as rare as that might be, but also you can get notified. We have one of the features that we use internally in Windows where, as we're developing the new user experience, we have a lame button that appears on every dialog. So every time a dialog pops up and someone doesn't like it, they hit the lame button, and that gets sent back to the developers who owned it, and they say, oh, somebody thought my stuff was lame, I better work on it. So things like that are about creating customer touch, about building those robust, stable applications. The user experience has got to be customizable. Customizable because not everybody might want the cool, you know, red, green, blue, waterfall, cascade, super user experience. Some people might want gunmetal gray. Other people might have disabilities that require them to have a different view of the screen, zoomed in, zoomed out, maybe high contrast. Or we want to be able to take this user experience not to the big screen. Oop. All right, I'm not going to look over there anymore. Not to the big screen, but maybe to a handheld device or a tablet PC. We need to have user experience that scales onto those different form factors and not make you author it once for each one of those form factors. I'm back. They're screwing with me, I can tell. Okay. And once, as I said before, this has got to combine the best of the web with the best of Win32. There's lots of great stuff about the web. It doesn't really deliver the smart client experience. There's lots of great things about Win32 today and the .NET experience that we have. We think we can go a step further to make it even easier and even more powerful applications get created. So now I'd like to introduce Rebecca Norlander, who's the group program manager, works for me on the Smart Windows client team, and she's going to actually show you a demo of some of this great new technology that we're working on to kind of get you pumped up right before the XP launch. Hey, Rebecca.
Good morning. So I've been here since 5:15, and the combination of the talk that we just gave, the demo that I'm going to show you, and the launch of Windows XP in just a few minutes, 9 minutes and 46 seconds and counting, has got me completely amped up this morning. So thank you so much for joining us, and let's get started. So Michael talked a bit about what we're going to be doing in the future with our platform, and I'm going to show you a little bit of taste of that. We have actually started writing code, and we've got something pretty exciting to show you.
Because our developers never sleep either.
No.
Just like these great people who showed up here at 7 o'clock in the morning on a Wednesday.
It's actually Thursday.
Thursday.
That's what I was going to tell him first, but I forgot. Okay, so up in the left-hand corner, you'll see that you'll get a frames per second counter. This is super important. So what am I going to show you here? So Michael talked about the graphics presentation layer that we're building for you guys. Typically, you've had some really amazing things that you could do, but they were somewhat silos of technology. The cool thing about the demo here is that I'm going to integrate streaming video, animated elements, and sound, in theory. Okay, so there's a song playing.
Sound.
There we go. So all of these things have come together on the platform that we're working on, the next generation Windows client platform, and we've made it super easy for you to leverage these different things to create a super interactive experience for your end user. Formerly, you had to know several different API sets. There were kind of these silos of technology. You had to kind of figure out how to integrate these things together, and we've done that for you. The nice thing about this is that the elements that you see moving across the page, the timing and animation services are provided for you as part of the programming model, and the effects that you're seeing, the transitions and the spins and the fades, are also essentially built into every single element. So you don't have to figure out how to apply extra functionality or write extra code. You just say, hey, I've got these properties that I'm going to twiddle, and I've got these things that are going to slide on and off.
So is that a director demo or a Shockwave or a Flash thing?
This is no. These are actually, most of them are bitmaps, except for the streaming video. But they are actual elements that we've created. We're composing the animations on the fly. We're moving them across the screen. This is real Win32.net code. The wave of the future.
How many frames a second is that running?
Check it out. I see 112, and a minute ago I saw 120, and it'll kind of go through and continue. As you know, 120 frames per second is pretty darn fast for something that's up here on the screen. Usually with some of the other animation type packages that you can use today, you'll get about 12 frames per second. So 120, 119 just then, 132, you're not going to see any bizarre edginess. Everything's going to be super smooth, just like you see up here. And it's going to be right at your fingertips. So that pretty much sums it up. Now we're going to have the XP launch in just a few minutes. So thanks all for coming. It's great that you're here this early. We're going to be completely jazzed and excited, and then you'll have to race me down the stairs afterward to pick up your boxes. So thanks again.
Thanks a lot.
Thanks, Michael, for that great talk about Windows XP and what to expect from a developer standpoint. Now, like we said, the box version of Windows XP is what you'll be getting immediately following this event if you go down to the registration booth. And I think that's really important because all week long, we've been talking to you guys about .NET. .NET Web Services, .NET My Services. At the New York event, it's a big event that's been going on all week as well. In addition to just having the launch event that's going on today, they've been running a trade show, kind of similar to what we see downstairs in the expo hall. At that trade show, a bunch of vendors are showing their products, talking about technologies and so forth. Today, I received a report from their trade show saying that while they were down there, there was a certain technology that they were showing that everyone was being drawn to. Can you guess what technology that was? .NET. Of all the booths at the trade show that were showing Windows XP and different products and different technologies, the one that was adding the most buzz to the Windows XP launch were the booths that were showing .NET technologies. Those are the technologies that all of you now have gotten a glimmer of how you can add that functionality to your application. This shows how the .NET technologies and Windows XP tying together can produce applications that the public out there that is looking for applications, looking for solutions, they're the ones that are going to drive to those things, because that's really, really important. Matter of fact, the .NET booths were so popular that yesterday, during the process, Bill Gates was supposed to come down and walk through the trade show. The one section of the trade show he wasn't able to get to were the .NET booths, because there was too many people around him, and Bill's handler said, too big of a crowd, we don't want to get down that close to those people. So that just shows you that .NET, maybe they thought that a little too much on the geeky side, I don't know. But that just shows you how important .NET is, how it's changing the world, and how Windows XP is assisting in that change. So with Windows XP, we think it's important you focus on writing great applications that not only leverage some of the cool, great features about Windows XP that Michael Wallen just talked to you about, but also making sure those applications take advantage of the .NET technologies, the .NET My Services, because that's what's going to be taking and driving the next wave of applications that are coming out there. Now, we've still got 3 minutes and 57 seconds before the satellite downlink happens. So sit back, relax, and we'll get there as soon as we can. Thanks a lot.
through. Thank you. ladies and gentlemen, we request at this time that you please turn off all pagers and cell phones. Please turn off all pagers and cell phones. Thank you for your cooperation.
Thank you.
Mayor. Mayor Giuliani, thank you for being here today.
Thank you very much, Bill, and thank you all very much for being here today. New York City has been through the worst attack that's ever been ever occurred in the history of America on September 11. We had more people lost, more damage, more sorrow that's still flowing from it than I think anyone ever anticipated that we would have to suffer in the United States. But the end result is that New York City has emerged from that and continues to emerge from it stronger, much more confident in our ability to handle this, much more confident in our system, much more convinced that we're right and they're wrong, that we're right about political freedom, we're right about economic freedom, we're right about religious freedom. And that we should be very, very proud and very confident that the ideas for which we stand and the ideas for which we lost so many people are the right ones, and they will prevail. I want to thank Bill very much for doing this launch here in New York City. It shows a tremendous... Thank you. It shows a tremendous amount of confidence in the city of New York, and it shows the exact spirit that Americans have, which is in part a spirit of defiance, and in particular a spirit of confidence that that our American system is right for us and right for the rest of the world. So I wish you the very best of luck with it, and I thank you and all of the other business leaders that are here for this launch of this new product, which really couldn't come at a better time for the city of New York. Thank you, Bill. Thank you. Thank you.
Microsoft salutes you and all of New York for your courage, determination, and resilience. You are truly an American hero. And so are the police and firefighters and citizens who risk their lives at a moment's notice to help others. We are proud to come here today and bring thousands of developers, retailers, and PC manufacturers from all over the world to New York. A few weeks after the September 11th attacks, I called the mayor to ask him whether he still thought it was appropriate to hold the launch here. Without hesitation, the mayor said, absolutely. And I agree. There was only one place to launch Windows XP, right here in the heart of New York City. Yesterday, I visited Ground Zero. I will never forget the devastation and the sheer inhumanity of what I saw. But I also saw America's strong spirit, courage, character, and community. I also visited the command center, where PC technology is helping to coordinate the emergency efforts. And I met with employees from Microsoft and many other companies who are helping with the relief and rebuilding efforts. I've been struck by the role that technology played, and especially that the internet played during this crisis. On September 11th, hundreds of millions of people relied on the internet to get news and to communicate with loved ones. Today, we're here with a few simple messages. First, we all fully support the global effort to fight terrorism. Second, New York is back and open for business. And third, and finally, although our economy is going through tough times, the technology industry will keep making the investments and innovations that will re-energize our economy. Once again, Mr. Mayor, thank you for your great work and for your support of our industry.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you. There's one point that Bill said something that I should have mentioned when I spoke earlier. The command center that was erected would not have been possible without the help of Microsoft, many of your other businesses in the technology industry, all of whom devoted a tremendous amount of work over a 48-hour period nonstop. The command center that now exists was destroyed at 7 World Trade Center. It was crushed on September 11th. It was rebuilt by September 14th. And without technology, without the computers that we have there, without the connection to the internet, New York City would not have been able to function. So the point that you make is a very important one, and the role that your industry plays in the security of America is an enormously important one, and I thank you very much.
Thank you.
They rebuilt that in 48 hours.
Yeah, that was amazing.
And your people.
For 25 years, Microsoft has been working to take software and build the best possible tool that we can for our users. Today is a major milestone in that effort. Today we launch worldwide Windows XP. This is a version of Windows that will take the PC industry to new heights. We can improve the way people do their work. We can improve the way they get information and entertain themselves at home. Technology has always been about making the impossible possible. And with Windows XP, we hope to do just that. Open up new possibilities. After you see Windows XP, I hope you will say, yes, you can do that with your PC. Not in the future, but now. So the whole PC industry has come together around this launch. Windows XP is the most powerful, fastest, most reliable operating system we have ever done. We poured literally billions of dollars of development into this new product. That was based on the feedback we had from our users, based on a vision of new activities that the PC could enable. The new security is very important. The privacy control is important. The messaging for real-time connections is a foundation. The new personal digital experiences, really we'll look back and say it's common sense. These are the ways that people deal with information. Together with Office XP, Windows XP will set a new standard for business. So the foundation we've got here, it's a platform. It's a platform that allows people to develop on top of it. For the last several years, we've been enhancing the platform. We've been sending out beta versions and sharing the information so that people would have a chance at the same time that we come along with Windows XP to release their applications. It's also about new experiences. You can experience a lot of new things just because of the built-in capabilities of Windows. And that's where the XP name comes from. It's about Windows experiences. But I want to emphasize that as important as this milestone is for Microsoft, it's also an industry milestone. The PC manufacturers are here today. In fact, earlier we had a CEO panel where the PC makers, Intel, Staples, a leading retailer, we all talked about how we're getting our energy behind this, how we can get people to see new possibilities and either buy new PCs or upgrade their PCs. So it's really through the new things that are built on top of Windows that it fulfills its full potential. We have a pavilion here at the launch with lots of partners showing off their new software applications. And it's large companies, small companies, all very excited about what people will be able to do. We are seeing PC designs optimized for Windows XP for the quick performance, the quick booting, building 802.11 in. And so it's all the elements, the hardware and software, coming together along with the applications that make this so important for the industry. Perhaps most important, though, is that this is a milestone for PC users. People spend a lot of time in front of their PCs. We have over 400 million users who sit down and use Windows every single day. And it's for them that the ability to do what they do now in a better way and get more satisfaction out of that, as well as start to see the new possibilities, the things that they wouldn't have thought about doing with their PC, that we now guide them into those things in a very simple way. So what pieces have we thrown out here? Well, in fact, in a sense, this is the end of an era. Microsoft and the original PC rose to prominence based on the MS-DOS product. And even as Windows came along, Windows 3.1, Windows 95, Windows 98, underneath, MS-DOS was running there. Windows simply sat on top of MS-DOS. Well, so today, it really is actually the end of the MS-DOS era. It's also, we would say, the end of the Windows 95 era. That was the most important Windows milestone up to this day. And even when we did that launch, we talked about that the Windows 95 era would come to an end. Let me show you a little clip from the Windows 95 launch. I get interviewed a lot. People say, well, you know, isn't this a huge problem between you and Apple that you've got this Windows 95 thing? And I say, no, it's really, we're really coming together, because until today, only Apple thought Windows 3.1 was a crummy operating system. And now we agree Windows 3.1 is a crummy operating system. And someday we'll say that about Windows 95, I'm afraid. But give us 2 or 3 years before we can figure out why we're going to have to say that. Well, it took more like 6 years. But certainly our users gave us a lot of reasons to say that Windows 95 simply isn't good enough. Well, let me herald the end of the DOS era here. I'll just simply type exit for the last time in MS-DOS.
Excuse me, Bill?
Yes, Doss?
Bill, I brought you the PC. I helped make Windows. And I'm running over 400 million PCs today. You aren't going to do this, are you, Bill?
Sorry, Doss. Well, that movie wasn't called 2001 for nothing. So, in many ways, this is a transition point. It's the end of too many PC crashes. It's the end of the static web era and the start of an era that where the web will be dynamic, will program against the web. This new term, XML Web Services, you're going to be hearing about that more and more because Windows XP lays the foundation for that. I also hope we'll say that it's the beginning of the end of the narrowband era, that people see with XP and its capabilities that broadband really should arrive not only for businesses, but eventually for consumers as well. You can say what we've done here is we took the best of Windows 95, the broad usage, the large number of applications, and we took that compatibility, and over all these years, we're able to build that into our high-end technology, the so-called NT kernel that's at the heart of both the professional and home edition here. It's revolutionary to be able to do that, and yet we made it evolutionary in terms of the user interface, the applications. We've allowed people to take that step up. Of the installed base, over 400 million use the 9X code base, and about 70 million use the Windows 2000 that was based on that technology. Now, all of those people will be working with the high-strength base operating system, and it will give the industry the opportunity to focus all its energies around the driver model and the richness that's possible with that technology. Well, there's one person who throughout the decade he's been at Microsoft has constantly been saying, we've got to get to this new level. We need it for reliability. We need it for the new capabilities. And he has persevered year after year. That's, of course, Jim Altman. Jim runs the Windows group. I'm very proud of the work he's done. He's really the one person we can point to and say, congratulations, we've finally gotten there. This is it. This is a really big beginning, and you drove it and made it happen. So let me welcome Jim on stage and congratulate him for the great work. Well, you stuck to it, Jim, and now we're finally here.
Yep, it was 12 years ago that you first talked to me about coming to Microsoft. And what did I say?
You said, we got to get to the one code base.
I said that no, I didn't think that this was the place for me. I thought maybe the right thing to do was to go to a company that believed in really reliable systems. And when I came out to Microsoft, you and Paul Moritz brought me over and said, you know, there's this new guy we just hired. His name's Dave Cutler. Why don't you talk to him for a minute? Of course, Dave is the person behind the VAC system. And I went over to Dave, and you may not know how Dave talks, but Dave says, I don't work on toy systems. I only work on real systems. And that was the beginning 13 years ago. He had already started 2 years before I started there. Then the history, this long journey that we've been on. So it's been an exciting journey for me and the team. And today, we're unleashing that real system, a system that's more reliable, more secure, and easier to use.
Now, go ahead and show them what it's like.
Okay. There are many reasons. There are many reasons why Windows XP sets the new standard. Let's just talk about reliability. This slide says 10 times more reliable. In our testing and in e-testing, it shows 30 times more reliable. And that's still the operating system hasn't crashed. Some business applications stop, but not the operating system. This is compared to Windows 98. In Windows 2000, Windows XP is still more reliable, at least 20% more reliable in our testing. What about performance? Windows XP is 36% faster running Winstone 2001 on business apps, 77% faster if you're running content creation. The system boots faster, up to 27% faster than Windows 98 Second Edition, and it loads apps that you've been using frequently 25% faster. What about security? Well, Foundstone says that Windows XP can provide the strongest network security available. Now, why is that? Well, there are many things that we added to the system. Internet firewall, so that when you install the product, you get instant protection from attackers trying to get into your system. We added a bunch of other capabilities to the system for security. But we also worked with the industry, the antivirus vendors, the consultants, to ensure that their products, together with Windows XP, created a holistic experience. We also came up with a new advanced technology that let us scan all the source code in the system to look for potential security issues, and we removed them before we shipped. We also put Windows XP on the internet, and we didn't have a single compromise, and we left it on there for a very, very long time. What about usability? Well, the slide says 25% better. This was based on about 100 different usability studies that we did with 1,000 different participants. But I don't think 25% really gets across the importance of what we've accomplished. The failure rate before of doing simple tasks like copying photos to a CD was very high. We show an 80% increase in completion of doing that task in Windows XP. We show a 40% increase in completion of those tasks if you're just trying to take pictures from a camera and bringing those into the system. Another area that Windows XP is setting the standard for is deployment. Now, that's something that we've worked on for our PC manufacturers because it takes time for them to load it in their manufacturing facilities, but we've also worked on it for the business space. We have a ministry in British Columbia that's been able to load Windows XP and their applications and deploy them all within 40 minutes. So across the board, we think this is a great solid foundation. Now, Windows 2000 was targeted at the embedded, the enterprise space, high-end users, but it didn't cover the entire gambit. So we only gave users one area of the whole spectrum. Now, what we've tried to do in Windows XP is cover the entire area. What I want to do is talk about Windows XP being more than just for consumers. Often, that's what people think of, because we focus on all the great things that we're doing in digital photography, digital video, music, and the like. But that covering that spectrum means that it has to be great for business, too. And we've had two innovative programs that we've used in the Windows XP program. One is called the Joint Development Partner Program. That's one that we've used for businesses, where we spend time with the businesses, they pre-install it, we test it out in their environments, make sure it does what it is that that they need out of a system. So to sort of give you the idea, the feel of what Windows XP can be for business, I've got a video that I want to run and show what BMW has been doing with Windows XP.
We're producing worldwide, we're selling worldwide, and very important, we are sourcing worldwide. BMW is really BMW Group, a global company. We are in the spearhead of technology. Without being that, our product would not be in a prime position in the market.
There are a few things why BMW chooses Windows XP. We see more security. We see better support on laptops. It's very reliable and very stable. With Windows XP, offline folders are encrypted on the local system. If a laptop were stolen or lost, the data cannot be seen. That's a very, very important issue. BMW is thinking about to migrate some CAD application from Unix workstations to Windows-based platform. The first results shows very good stability.
Given the high investment that we have in the infrastructure, our interest is to get the best quality and the best value out of it. So I think Microsoft has done that, setting the standard, getting the hardware industry behind it, and so we get the best output out of it. Today, it's certainly the benchmark.
Here in the audience are representatives from BMW, Michael Ludacha and Michael Schmidt. I'd like them to stand. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. We had another program, which is quite innovative. Instead of just bringing people to Microsoft for usability studies in our labs, we decided to get out of our offices and go to people's homes. So we had a program called Real People, Real Data, where we went to people's homes, understood what they were trying to do, and then tested out our products directly with them. We, in some cases, basically lived with them. We have one of those families here, the Madsen's family from Chicago, Beth, Fred, and their son Jeff, and I'd like them to stand as well. I want to give you an idea how they were using Windows XP. This is the Madsen family PC, and let's look at what Beth does. Beth uses her PC a lot of times to do a PowerPoint story. In this particular case, it's sort of a funny one. It's about water towers for somebody inside Microsoft. But she's also done serious ones dealing with the tragedy of September 11th. Let me switch gears and look at how Fred uses the family PC. Fred uses the PC for remote control model airplaning. This is one of Fred's designs that he actually created. And back here he has a web page with the rules and regulations with RC planes. Let's look at what Jeff does. Jeff's a guy after my own heart into music. And what Jeff likes to do is using an application that can build grooves and tie them together, the Sonic Foundry's Acid, he can create music. And once he's totally satisfied with it, he can pump it out to Windows Media Format and deploy it in the media system that he has skinned in a very unique way here. So this is an example of how we've gone the gamut from the very high-end 64-bit level system with Windows XP down to what a family in Chicago and how they can use a PC. I want to personally thank all the people that are in the audience today and all the people that are listening for the beta testing and all the feedback. You helped develop this product, and I really, really appreciate it. Thank you. So not only does Windows XP represent tremendous opportunities for what users can do at home or at work, but it also represents amazing opportunities for the PC industry. Since June...
Ladies and gentlemen, we're having a small technical problem with our satellite link. We'll be up shortly. Thank you.
Number two was compatibility, but we did a really, really amazing job. On the CD, we have 12,000 devices, which I think is phenomenal. And we've got thousands more that are going up on Windows Update today and that are available on the Internet. 90% of the high-volume applications that have been shipped in the last three years work great on Windows XP. And we created a new logo program that we encourage customers to look for. Because these applications, these designed for Windows XP logoed applications or devices, we know have a higher level of quality than previous applications. And we've got 3,200 designed for Windows devices and apps today with about 500 coming each week. So incredibly broad industry support. I want to show you some of the different systems that are now shipping from our top partners in this space. I have a whole line here. Up here we have a compact 1700T system, and down here we have a very cool Evo D500 system. Now this system is unique because it's got the smallest form factor that has a Pentium 4 in it. But it's also cool because it's got full expandability here in the front of it. So very, very cool. Up here we have a Dell 8100, which is very cool. And down here we have a Dell C400 Latitude. This is a great form factor as well. Very, very fast resume times, which is something that together with our partners we've worked hard on. It's great for mobility. Up here we've got a Gateway Solo 9550, and down here we have a Gateway 700S system. This is a feature-packed consumer system with extreme performance. It supports VideoWare, and it's great for the digital video experience. Up here we have a HP Pavilion N5475 and an HP OmniBook 500. It's a great form factor, as you can see here, and it has optional wireless built in, which is fantastic. And as it's pretty obvious, it's going to be great for a mobility experience. Up here we have a ThinkPad T23, and down here we have an all-in-one station for business, the NetVista X41. This is a powerful business desktop, and as you can see, this is it. This is the whole computer here. Very innovative form factor, takes up only 25% of the desk space. In the back here, we have a Sony VAIO MX system, and down here we have the smallest compact form factor that we've got up here. Integrated high-quality camera up here at the top. We've got MPEG-2 video encoding capabilities. It's obviously great for a communication system. Back here, a Toshiba Protege 4000, and down here we have an all-in-one, if you will, satellite system, S504. High-end NVIDIA graphics, high-end audio, fantastic sound from the system, desktop replacement for consumers. It's also very good for a music experience, obviously. Those are systems from our top partners, but I want to make two other points. The first is that Windows XP is a system for all software and hardware vendors. We have a generic PC here, and because Windows XP is designed as a platform first and foremost, you'll see running here Netscape, AOL, Yahoo Messenger, and RealPlayer. So regardless of the solution, regardless of the PC, Windows XP enhances your experience. The last point I wanted to make in this broad range is that Windows XP comes on machines of all shapes and all sizes. I've got an eMachines 1090 here. This is a Windows XP machine. It's less than $500. Very, very impressive. Well, we have come a long ways. It's been quite a journey. I've been at Microsoft 11 years. I'm super proud of this product. I'm super proud of the team that created it. Customers love Windows XP. My group and Microsoft in general is in the business of creating opportunity. Windows XP represents a land of opportunity. And frankly, that's why this is such a historic moment for us and the industry. Thank you very much.
Well, the team worked very hard on this product. I remember last spring sitting down with them and saying, are you guys going to have this ready for this Christmas season? We really need it for this Christmas season, but we don't want to do it unless it's ready to go. And so they put in some really long hours, real dedication to it. So let's have a round of applause for the Windows XP team. A critical aspect of this product is the what we call continuous improvement. And this is something that I'm really thrilled about. I think it's something that we needed, but we have not had until Windows XP. It's the idea of a complete feedback loop. You know, how does Microsoft know when somebody wants their PC to do better? How do they know what's going on? How do we know what pieces may not be fitting together in exactly the right way? Well, built into Windows XP is a reporting capability. And so for anybody who allows this to work, we can see every time there's a hang or a crash or a serious problem on the PC. And so we have this very comprehensive database that shows us all those things that are going on. Now we take that information and together with our partners, we say, hey, was this driver solid enough? Was this application working the right way? Was this hardware working the right way? And we make sure that we can feed improvements out to that user base. When we did this in the past, it was way too cumbersome. People would get too many notices. We didn't have enough up there. We didn't have drivers and the broad set of things people were interested in. So we said, we've got to get this to critical mass. We have to have it be common sense that an XP machine, whether it's in a corporation at home, you're getting these regular updates. And so the feature is built in to make that very, very simple. So we won't have to wait for the major releases that come every 2 or 3 years in order to see improvements. Simply by having a machine that connects out to the internet, you'll be able to get this continuous improvement. And this is really a key answer to the question of how can we have such an open environment where anybody can develop applications and drivers and hardware, and there's nothing that holds back people who want to do those new things. There's no approval process they go through, and yet be sure that the leading companies make absolutely sure that the quality of that experience is such that people aren't concerned, that they're willing to add a new peripheral or a new application, knowing their system will keep running and working for them exactly the way it should. When I talk about partners, we have a lot of partners, but our most critical partner, without a doubt, is Intel. With Intel, we work to make sure that the power of their processors and our software solutions is really enabling new capabilities. We're both companies that believe in a very high volume approach, getting great price performance out into the marketplace. It's exciting that at the same time we're coming out with this new major Windows release, Intel has a very important chip that's now going mainstream. So let me invite Craig Barrett, CEO of Intel, out to share his perspective on the XP launch. Welcome.
Thank you. So first of all, let me congratulate you, Microsoft, and Jim Altman on a great accomplishment, the whole Windows XP, the technology behind it, the launch, everything is great. I want to tell you, just as a start, I've almost got three generations of stuff behind this. My grandkids just bought a new PC, Intel Inside, surprisingly enough. XP, I've got XP Professional on my desktop. And our IT organization is standardizing on XP Professional for Intel across the board going forward. Super. And as you said, I really think the combination of Pentium 4 processor and XP and the fact that they're really optimized to show off each other's real strength brings a lot of excitement to the marketplace going forward. And we're just proud to be up here on the stage with you and proud to have our teams working closely together. And in fact, I think in my history of the Intel-Microsoft relationship, this is probably the closest cooperation, best cooperation we've ever had. So we're excited about the result, excited about going forward. Now, one of the things that I'm not sure that the audience realizes is really how much technology goes behind this. And I was sitting in my hotel room last night trying to add up how many man-years of effort we put behind designing the Pentium 4 and the manufacturing process technology and getting ready to go. And I come up somewhere between probably 7,000 and 10,000 man years, and I suspect you've got an equivalent amount of effort behind XP.
Almost exactly the same.
It's, you know, the things that we're building collectively, I think, are the most complex, sophisticated things that man has ever built. And I get terribly excited looking at the microstructure of our microprocessors. I suspect you get excited looking about those bits and bytes of stuff in the code. But
you bet.
But, you know, that's for us techie nerds to get excited about. By the way, I've got to ask you, how old were you in the Windows 95 launch video?
Let's see. I was 38.
Wow.
I've aged.
You've matured. You've matured.
Absolutely.
But, you know, we get excited about the technology, but I think the real excitement is what it brings to the end user. And I think you and the team have done a very good job demonstrating the audience that if you're a consumer and it's the rich audio, digital video, entertainment, rich communication, imaging, animation, all of that good stuff, plus better reliability. And then in the business space, it's everything from multiprocessor or multitasking capability and security, the short messaging system with the video conferencing little window. I love that aspect of it. There's games, and I know none of you play games ever at work, but it is really, if you take a Pentium 4 and XP in games, and the animation is truly amazing. So I want everybody to recognize not so much all the detailed technology behind it, but the great user experience that it brings forward. And I think that's really the accomplishment that Microsoft is presenting to the world today. So let me offer Intel's congratulations. Looking forward to continue to work with you guys. Great accomplishment.
Thank you. Thanks for your support. Many people, as we've talked about the enthusiasm of these beta users, where they literally say they're never going back to a previous version of Windows, they've asked us to dimensionalize this. And if you simply look at doing the things you were doing before, the time savings are quite considerable. Always-on capability, the quick coming out of standby capability, the reduction in crashes, just the basic speed that we have in everything that goes on with the operating system, and the fact that things are more accessible. You can see what's going on. You can control that interface just in a far better way. If you've ever got a question, this support capability where you can just connect up. It's pretty clear to us that a Windows user over the course of a year is going to save themselves a man week because of these new capabilities. And that's simply taking the things they're doing now and being able to do those in a better way. So reasonably dramatic. It just shows the leverage that comes when we spend the billions of dollars and put the product out as a high-volume, low-priced product. Now, on top of that savings comes the ability to do the new things. And I wanted to make it clear what some of those categories of new things are. You're going to see a lot today about real-time communications. This is not just instant messaging, because when people think about that, they think about text. What we have here is the extension to audio and video as well. Perhaps even more profound is this screen sharing. You know, whenever you're on the phone with somebody, you want to talk about a list or a schedule or a presentation or a budget. Well, now people will do that. This kind of net meeting capability was so hard to get at Windows that it was almost like a cult feature. And now we brought it to the mainstream, and we expect most people to use that. Mobile computing. On an ongoing basis, you're going to hear about how our industry is driving Wi-Fi, or 802.11b, into mainstream usage. That is a very big thing for the new scenarios. And XP brings that forward. If you have an XP machine, there's many locations now where automatically you'll see the network come up and just offer to connect you up and connect you up with security. Help and support, a huge overhead thing. Now the diagnostics built in and the screen sharing thing allow those to be handled in a very different way. The common sense of digital photography. Why haven't people switched away from film? Well, the cameras are certainly getting there, the cost, the resolution, the printers. But it's just the setup. How do you move the photos? How do you keep the names? How do you make sure you don't lose them? How do you organize them? That's what we put so much work into. Likewise, digital music. The user is empowered by organizing things the way they want, and yet it hasn't reached critical mass because the tools simply weren't built in the right way. Digital video coming along with the great camcorders, the low cost of storage, and finally, home networking. Again, something that a few people were able to set up in the past. Now it's something that's a mainstream thing. You get two PCs, they'll recognize they're together. be able to set up and gateway through to the internet in a simple way. So those were some of the key scenarios that we really put new technology in, took it out to the users to make sure that this would be something that everyone could take advantage of. So, you know, XP is about hundreds of millions of people doing these things. We thought a lot about, you know, how could we bring this home? How could we bring someone who clearly wasn't, you know, an engineer and, you know, really people could relate to in a big way? And we thought, who's got the energy and the excitement? Who's sort of a consummate New Yorker who can, you know, be a good example of someone we can bring in with Windows XP? And so we've got somebody fantastic for that. Please welcome Mr. Regis Philbin.
Hi, everybody. Hello, Bill. How you doing? Nice to see you.
Welcome.
Thank you. You know, I'm excited to be here, but I got to tell you something. I am your greatest challenge. I've talked about this on the show. I've tried so many times to conquer this, to get into it, to be a part of, you know, the century, and I can't do it. It just doesn't work for me. There's too many things to press. There's too much to remember. I give up.
Well, that's why we need you here. We've got to prove that Windows XP is for everyone.
Well, I see it all around me, my staff, my family. Everybody can do it. I can't do it.
Well, Regis,
incidentally, why am I the only guy here with a tie on?
Regis, you can do it. I'll answer any questions that you have.
I've got a lot of questions, a lot of questions. But, you know, I'd feel more familiar with these questions if I was in more familiar surroundings. So would you step into my office right over here, Bill Gates? Yeah, here it goes. Yes, Bill Gates. Who wants to be a millionaire? Bill Gates does. There we go.
Well, you know, Regis, I've always wanted to be on your show.
Yeah, if anybody needs a million, it's you. But weren't you on my show yesterday?
Well, that was Kelly's show, wasn't it?
Easy, Bill, easy. Easy on the funny stuff. You mean my other show? You mean the millionaire show? We'd love to have you on that show.
All right.
Yeah. Who wants to be a millionaire? Bill Gates does. You think it's worth your time?
Well, I don't know. It'd be fun.
Yeah, I think it'll be fun. If you could get past the fastest finger question.
Oh, you know? I can do it.
Sure you can. All right, let's start with some easy XP Windows questions, okay? See how much you really know about this product. Here we go. First question coming up. Bill Gates, what does the XP in Windows XP stand for? Is it extreme power, expediency, experience, supercalifragilistic expialidocious?
Well, that's a pretty easy one. I think I'll go with C.
Experience. You say experience, final answer?
Final answer.
All right. And you're right, Bill Gates. You just won $100. Experience, the right answer. All right. We'll get another question up here. Which of these is not a Windows XP experience? Would it be digital music, mobility, digital photography, new millionaire game that replaces solitaire?
Well, we may have missed an opportunity, but I think it's D.
You're right again, Bill Gates. How about that? $200. Very good. All right, we'll get into a tough question. Here it comes. Windows XP allows you to use your computer to play videos, music, and view pictures, call and see friends in real time, connect to your work from anywhere, get the best of the digital world, even if you're not an expert.
Well, that's an interesting one. I'd say it's actually all of the above.
All of the above, final answer.
That's it.
Got it, Bill Gates. It really happened to you. Yes, you win. But let me ask you something, Bill. Can it really do all these things?
Well, it really does. And, you know, we're going to make it so even a guy like you can do every one of those things.
You know, I'm a kind of a bright guy, but I just, okay, there's just something about it that baffles me.
Well, we've got Joe Belfiore here, and he's going to come out and show you how you do it with Windows XP.
Okay.
Actually, while Joe's out here, I'm going to go out into Times Square.
You're going to go to Times Square?
Yeah, I'm just going to go out there.
Can you imagine
look
this?
Don't worry, I'll be checking back in with you to make sure Joe's taking care of you.
Bill Gates loose in Times Square. All right. It's going to be okay.
Bill, I brought a jacket for you here from folks in the team. You'd need it out there in Times Square.
New Windows XP jacket.
That's what Bill needs. It's 84 degrees out there.
I'll be a real hit. Okay, good luck,
Bill,
you guys.
Okay, Bill, thanks very much.
Good luck out there.
Nice to see you, Bill. All right. There's a lot of great people out there, you know. I hope he's going to be all right. I trust he knows his way around Times Square, Joe. You know, there's shell games, there's naked cowboys, there's hot dog vendors with XP windows on the umbrellas. There's all kinds of things out there. But there aren't many chief architect software engineers out
there. Yeah, you're right, Regis, but I'll tell you what. I think Bill's going to be okay.
Okay.
So we'll check in and make sure he does fine.
All right.
So why don't we walk over here and get started, and I'll start showing you Windows XP.
Do any of these guys own a tie? That's all I want to know. Can't believe it.
So,
is this the latest model?
This is a Dell Latitude C600 laptop.
Okay.
And the first thing we're going to talk about, we're going to go through some of the experiences. The first one we're going to talk about is mobility and how Windows XP can really let you take your computing experiences with you.
Windows XP is the engine inside this computer, right?
This computer comes with Windows XP.
Okay.
And well, the first thing, actually, I saw on your show, you had Bill on your show, and you
yes.
mentioned that sometimes you've had some trouble actually just turning computers on.
Exactly. All you need is an on and off button, and I'll be able to follow it.
Well, fortunately, this laptop actually has one right there, and we thought it would be a great way to start out with Regis by letting him turn the PC on. He could start learning, and all of you could see just how fast Windows XP is.
So doesn't say on. It's got a little symbol, but that's the button, right?
Yep, there you go.
Here
Give
you
it
go.
A push.
And that's it? It's on?
That's it. And there's
it's
Windows
on.
XP.
Okay.
All right?
Great. Good beginning.
We're off to a good start so far here. You're doing great. So Windows XP does make turning the PC on a lot quicker, and there's a lot of other things we've done to make mobility work great. But one of the things that I want to focus on, since we don't have time to go through all the features, is wireless networking. So with wireless networking, you can buy a laptop, and Dell and other PC manufacturers make laptops that have it built in.
Right.
But lots of people have laptops like this that don't have wireless networking built in. So what you can do is you can buy little wireless networking cards like this one.
Uh-huh.
This is an Orinoco wireless networking card from Agere.
Mm-hmm.
What we're going to do, Regis, I'm going to actually have you install wireless networking support on this laptop.
This makes this computer usable without any wires.
Exactly. Okay. You'll be able to get on the internet, do your email, do all that stuff. We thought, you know, with Regis being new to all this, it would be great to start him out with something as easy as installing hardware.
And every computer has that little slot?
All laptops have that little slot, so you can buy stuff like this from lots of companies.
All right.
And we're going to go through all the steps to install, configure, and connect to a wireless network.
Mm-hmm.
So go ahead and give the card
push
a push.
There.
And just watch on the screen here as Windows XP recognizes that you just inserted some hardware, and it's doing all the hard work of figuring out how to install the software required, find the wireless network, and get you connected.
All right. So little balloons are popping up.
Little balloons are popping up. It's thinking, and there we go.
Is install ready to use. Good.
And that's it.
And that's it.
The hardware is installed and ready to use.
But I still see wires here.
Well, these wires are actually wires that we're using to power the laptop and to get the picture up on the screen to get some audio out.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so we've now got our wireless network installed here, and you can see there's a balloon that says there's wireless networks right here in the theater. Who would have guessed? A wireless network in the theater.
So it has to be in a place where there are wireless network connections.
You got it, exactly. And so what we can do is we can just click on the balloon here to see the wireless networks. And in fact, We've set up more than one wireless network here in the theater, so out there in the partner area, people can do wireless. Up here on stage, you and I can do wireless.
Okay.
And I'm just going to click OK or hit Enter to connect to this wireless network.
What did you hit?
I hit the Enter key, but I could have
also... So far, three moves. I hit this, I push this, and I hit Enter.
You got it. That's it.
Piece of cake.
And right up there on the screen, it says, we are now connected to the backstage network, and our connection is excellent. So this PC right now is actually connected. And to show that to you, I'm going to go over here to the Start button. Start button is the one place that you click on to find all your programs and anything you want to do. I'm going to open the Internet using Internet Explorer right here, and we'll actually have a web browser. We'll be connected to the network. And what we're looking at is a web page that we have on a server backstage.
Uh-huh.
And we could browse around on the Internet and do anything we wanted.
Okay.
So the second thing that's really cool about wireless networks is that they're very fast. And to show you just how quick they are, I'm going to click on this music link and download a song and have it play over the PC. Music files are kind of big, and it shows how fast a wireless network is. So we click, and there's the music.
Wow, that was quick.
Simple as that.
That was quick.
So not only is it easy for you to set up a wireless network, hopefully you'll decide that you can do it, but it's also really fast once you've got it set up. You did mention a key point, Reg, which is that for wireless networking, there has to be an antenna, or you have to have your PC in a place where a wireless network has installed. And I thought it would be cool to show you a little bit about what my wireless day is like when I take my laptop and go to all these places.
Okay.
So let's actually, I'm going to unplug this. I'll yank the screen, yank the power, yank the audio. I'm going to lift this puppy right up. And I want you to join me on a little imaginary walk through my wireless day. Okay.
Where are we going?
Okay, well, in fact, let's take a look back here.
We're going
to start at home.
Okay, yeah.
So step on over here.
So you can work it at home
without
any wire.
I can and I do. I have a wireless network in my house, and all I have to do is turn on my laptop or plug in the card. A little balloon pops up on the screen, like the one you see there, telling me that I'm now connected to my home wireless network. Lots of companies are building accessories that let you connect to a wireless network in your house.
How did you make that? You just buy that, you put it in your house?
Exactly. You buy that, you connect it to the internet, you have a little wireless card like this, turn on your laptop with Windows XP, you're good to go.
Right.
And then you can browse the web, play online games, do all kinds of stuff. My wife and I like to sit in front of the TV on Sundays with our laptops and update our fantasy football scores to see how we're doing.
Sounds exciting.
Exactly. Okay, let's move on.
Yeah.
Another place where wireless networking is becoming really popular is at work, in the office.
Mm-hmm.
I take my laptop to the office a bunch, and all I have to do is turn it on. I could be in a conference room. I could be in the cafeteria.
And most offices are set up for wireless,
Many are. In fact, we did a survey recently. 70% of CIOs of large companies say they are currently testing wireless networks at their businesses now.
That would speed up everything in the business, wouldn't it?
That's the idea.
Yeah.
So people could take their laptops and work in the cafeteria, or if you're stuck in a meeting that's not the most productive meeting in the world, you can get some other work done.
Okay.
All right, let's move on. Another great place where wireless networking can really provide benefits to people, where it's taking off.
I see them all the time, in airports.
You got it.
Yeah.
So you go to an airport. I could take my laptop to an airport. In fact, on the way here, I did this at Seattle Airport, where there's wireless networking. I turn it on. And sure enough, at the airport, I'll get a little balloon like that telling me if there's a wireless network. If there is, like in this case, I can click on that, see a list of available networks, and companies like Wayport are actually installing this service in lots of airports today. So people can go, they pay a small fee just to get online, and then while they're waiting for their flight, they can be doing their email, on the web, all kinds of stuff like
that. What about on the flight, Joe?
Not yet, but I'm sure we'll get there soon.
Okay.
One cool thing, by the way, Wayport is one of these companies that's got this support in airports. Wayport has announced that for all Windows XP customers, starting today until the end of January, that Wayport wireless service will be free if you're using Windows XP.
No kidding.
So that's kind of cool.
That's nice. Good.
The last place where we're seeing wireless networking really, really start to take off is in hotels. I can take my laptop to a hotel, I turn it on, whether I'm in my room, I'm in the lobby, I'm in the coffee shop, I'll see one of these little balloons that tells me a wireless network is there. I can connect to it, I can then browse the web, do my email, all that same sort of stuff.
If you don't see the balloon, it's not going to work.
If you don't see the balloon, then you're not in a place with a wireless network. But a key thing is that these wireless networks are happening in lots and lots of places.
Mm-hmm.
So more and more, you'll be able to go somewhere and do wireless networking.
Terrific.
And in fact, Reed, we're going to make sure that you can do it, and all of you folks in the audience can do it, because the folks from Agear have provided these wireless cards free for all of you and for you.
Not
so you
bad.
Can go try this stuff yourself with Windows XP.
Great, that's a great idea.
All right, so that's wireless and mobility. Thanks. I think Bill has probably made it to...
Are we going to check in with him?
We should check in with him.
I hope he's there safe and sound. Bill Gates in Times Square.
Hi.
There he is.
I'm here at the Starbucks in Times Square. Let's go see what's happening inside.
I'll take an iced decaf triple venti, skim, light on the ice, latte. Next.
Hi. I'll take an 11 megabit 802.11 with a dynamic IP connection. And I'll have a beverage with it, too.
Oh, your network's up, and here's a drink, sir.
Wow, that's a strong double mocha.
Sir, that's hot chocolate.
Wireless network. Outstanding.
Dude, isn't it complicated to go wireless?
No, it's a snap. You'll be on the web faster than the Yankees beat the Mariners.
Mayor Koch. Very catchy. Excuse me, I've got a Windows Messenger request.
Hi, Bill.
Howard Schultz. What a coincidence. I'm in a Starbucks right now. The wireless network you're testing in here is great.
It's Howard Schultz. He's the head of Starbucks. Hey, they're talking on the internet.
By this time next year, Starbucks is planning to offer customers high-speed wireless internet access in many of our stores across the country.
Terrific. Windows XP will be a big help for that.
It's so fast, I was surfing before I was sipping.
Absolutely. We're also planning to use Windows XP with Compaq technologies in our stores. We're also going with Windows XP in our enterprise.
Thanks a lot, Howard.
Have a great launch. Next time, the coffee's on me.
Well, hot chocolate.
Did that guy say something about free coffee?
Joe, Regis, back to you.
Thanks very much, Bill. Ed Koch. Anyway, they're smart people, these Starbucks folks. They're everywhere. They sell their double decaf lattes and Oprah book CDs, everything, and now they're wireless, too.
You got it. And wireless really is one of the cool things about Windows XP. But what we want to talk about now and why we're here is to talk about digital media.
Yeah, what exactly is that?
Well, digital media is the idea that you could take pictures or music or videos or all kinds of content, stuff like this, the way it is today, and put it on your PC, and then be able to deal with it easily and do lots of great stuff with it.
You could condense all of these CDs on your PC.
Not only all of these CDs, but all of these pictures. I have a box like this at my house, tons of pictures.
Everybody's got these. And these, videotapes.
I've been trying to record all your shows, actually.
Yeah, sure. Maybe you and your wife could have a ball on Monday night, too.
Yeah.
All right, now where do we go?
Okay, so let's go over here. Come on, step right up here, and we'll take a look at photos. So what we have, this is a HP Pavilion PC, and see that box of pictures there? That's got about 2,000 pictures.
Right.
We have all of those pictures on this PC.
How'd they get there?
Well, it's actually pretty easy with Windows XP. For one thing, you could use a digital camera to take them. You connect it with a wire. Windows XP recognizes it and copies the pictures to your PC. Or you could use a scanner to take pictures like that, scan them in, and have them on your PC.
But then how do you know which picture comes up after the next one?
Well, let's take a look, actually.
Okay.
I'll give you a quick look. Now, again, to do this, I just have to go to the Start button, place to start stuff. And one of the things on here is My Pictures. That's the My Pictures folder where all of these pictures have been stored.
Mm-hmm.
And you can see I have tons and tons of them, and they're categorized in little folders. Every time I take my digital camera and plug it in, I type in a name, and they all go together.
So if I want to expand one or enlarge it, I can do that?
Let's try it. We have a folder full of pictures here that were taken for a photo event that Hewlett-Packard did, where they gave digital cameras to a bunch of folks from age of 6 to 64 who weren't experts with them, and they went around the city and took pictures.
Central Park.
You got it. So I can flip through these pictures using Windows XP's film strip view, and I can see them right here on the screen. And there's actually lots and lots of great stuff I can do with them once I have
them. Can I print these pictures out?
Well, thanks for the segue, actually. In fact, you can. If you look right over here on the picture tasks, there's lots of things that we make it easy for you to do with pictures, like view them as a slideshow, or you asked about printing.
Yeah.
I can click print this picture and print it on my own printer, or I can order prints online, and a company like Kodak or Shutterfly will provide the service for me to actually get those prints in
you
the
just
mail.
Order it online and it comes to you.
And it comes to you. In fact, I want to show you an example. We have here One of the things that digital photography has finally caught up with film photography in is the quality of the photos. There's a Sony camera out there that's a 5-megapixel camera. And with that Sony camera, you can take pictures and blow them up to this size, and they actually still look great.
That's brilliant.
It's fine enough definition that you probably would be willing to hang it on the wall.
Absolutely.
If you knew who this person was.
You can get it that big, too.
You can, exactly. In fact, this was printed by someone from the development team, and I'm sure that's their kid.
But you need this.
All the pictures are on that computer,
okay.
And then you can print, order prints, and so on. But, in fact, that's not all you can do. As I'm showing you these tasks here, one of the other things that a lot of people want to do is share their pictures with other folks.
Yes.
So I have family who live in Florida. If I want to share pictures, I can email them. So here's a picture, and if I want to email this, I just click on email. Now, actually, people can do a lot of this stuff today.
But it comes out a little grainy. I've seen some of them.
Yeah, it can come out strange. It could be a picture that's really big. And in fact, that's what I wanted to show here. This picture is 2.25 megabytes.
Mm-hmm.
And that's actually pretty big. It wouldn't even fit on a floppy disk, just that one picture. And that's how the quality is so high. If I were to send that to my sister who has a modem, it would really take her a very long time to download it. It wouldn't be very considerate of me to do that. But what Windows XP does, so that you don't have to know all this, if you were to use the PC, for example, and click email this file, Windows XP will detect that the picture is really big and automatically offer to make it smaller for you. And then you just click OK, and then you'll get your email message. You type in the name of the person you want to send it to, and off goes the email.
And it shows up on their computer.
It'll show up on their computer. And you see right here, this picture is now really small, only 63K. It's a very small size, but when I open it up, it still looks really nice. So the person on the other end can see the picture.
Fabulous.
So there's lots of ways you can share pictures. You can send email. Perfect. One of the things that I also did was I burned a bunch of pictures on this CD. Windows XP supports the ability to write CDs. So actually, the truth is you can fit that many pictures on a CD.
And then they play the CD and they see all the pictures on their computer.
They can play the CD. You got it. Or I could store it away in case I wanted to make sure I didn't ever lose them. There's lots of great stuff I can do.
It's terrific, Jim.
All right? You get the idea.
Okay.
Let's move on and talk about music. Over here, we have a Sony Vaio MX. This is a Sony PC that comes with Windows XP, and I want to show you some of the cool stuff that you can do with music. I'm going to go right over here and open the My Music folder, and in fact, all of those CDs, that's 2,000 CDs, we have stored on this computer right here.
Just like the pictures are stored on this one.
Exactly. Okay. In fact, there's room on the PC to put even all the CDs and all the pictures.
No kidding.
Yeah, so you can get all that stuff on there. You know, you think about using audio CDs today. They're great. But if you lose one, then you don't have it anymore, if it gets all scratched up.
Sure.
This way, you can keep all your music safe and together in one place.
And how's the sound quality? Good?
Sound quality is great, and I'll show you in a second. So if you see, I can scroll through the My Music folder and see all my digital music files. I have tons and tons of them in here. I've just scrolled along. I'm barely through the Bs. I'm a Billy Joel fan, local guy. So let me go in there, and I'll show you. I have a bunch of Billy Joel albums here.
Okay.
And if I want to do something with the music, listen to it or whatever.
You just keep hitting that little mouse, and all of these things happen. Huh?
I just double-click the button, go in, and there I am. So Windows XP makes it easier for you to deal with all these music files. Once you put the CD in, copy them to your hard disk, it can tell you who the artist is, how long the song is, and so on. If I want to play the music, I can just select a song, go over here, and choose Play. And that song will be selected, along with the rest of the content of the album, in Media Player will come up here, and we're listening to some classic, appropriate Billy Joel.
Wow, fantastic. And that's 2,000 albums at least, huh?
On this PC.
On CDs, yeah.
Yep. Okay, so this is Windows Media Player. I want to show you a little bit about it. It's been updated for Windows XP to make playing and dealing with music really effortless for people. So you see I have my playlist here, my album art. The media player also makes it possible for me to deal with all that music. So if I go into my media library, I can look at it in different ways. I can look at it, for example, by album. The list you saw before was all by artists.
They're all listed there, huh?
And they're all here.
And
so
who did that?
You know, we pay these folks a bunch of money to stick the CDs in, get all the music on here, and we're ready for the demo.
Okay, good.
But you might imagine if you have your own music collection, you'll take one CD, stick it in, listen to it, it'll be copied to the hard disk. Later, you'll stick another CD, listen to it, and it all happens pretty automatically. Now, I have all that music in there. I can look at it by artist, by album, and I can create playlists, which are my own sort of customized set of music that all go together.
And you'll rearrange it?
I can arrange it in whatever order I want, have as many songs as I want.
Fantastic.
And you got to remember, the cool thing here is that once you have this digital media on your PC, one of the great things is that you can do a bunch of stuff with it.
Yeah.
Okay? So, for example, I created this audio CD, Joe's Road Trip Classics, which are a bunch of songs that I like to listen to when I'm driving on the road. Mm. And I can also take the music with me by putting it on a portable digital music player. So right here we have a whole bunch of examples of portable digital music players being made by lots of companies to provide Windows XP users with music wherever they want to go. All of these music players work with Windows XP today. Mm. So once you have the music, you can do lots of great stuff with it.
And how?
What do you think?
I think it's great. And you've got every artist ever?
Well, we have a lot. There's 2,000 in here right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, fabulous.
In fact, one of the things that some people say when I show this is that I go into this list and it's a little on the long side. You know, if I have to find a particular album in there, you got to scroll through all this. And if I let you use it for a while, you might find that kind of inconvenient.
Yeah.
And in fact, I heard on your show that you mentioned to Bill that you'd like to be able to talk to computers. That might
That's the answer. That's the final answer. Just talk to the thing, you know, and let it do the work. Forget the mouse, forget pressing buttons, talk to it.
Okay, well, we're going to try to stay focused on that for a second. I want to show you a feature, because we're going to try to deliver on that promise. With Plus for Windows XP, Microsoft Plus for Windows XP, what Plus does is it extends the digital media experience, makes your PC more fun to use. So what I'm going to do here, I'm going to open Plus and show you one of the things that we've done to start making that a reality. Mm-hmm. Like I said, Plus has a bunch of stuff, but what I'm going to do is I'm going to start the voice command for Windows Media Player. And what that does is it enables me to actually talk to the computer and ask for my music. So watch this. Media Player, play artist Lenny Kravitz. I think I spoke too soon. It wasn't quite ready, so I'll try it again. Media Player, play artist Lenny Kravitz.
This better work. I don't hear Lenny.
I don't hear Lenny yet either. We'll try it one more
Lenny.
Time.
Maybe Lenny's not in there.
Sometimes we have trouble with the mics being hooked up
yeah,
here.
Right, Joe, sure. See, this is exactly what I'm talking about. Here's a professional, Lenny Kravitz, please. Nothing. Give it another shot.
I think it has to be a little quieter in here for me to do that.
Okay.
Okay. Media Player, play artist Lenny Kravitz. All right.
And you got him.
Uh-huh.
That's it. Now you're showing me something, Joe.
Thank you.
Yeah,
thank
now
you.
I like it.
Yeah, we thought this is it's a cool and useful feature.
Can
it's,
you narrow it down, Joe, to the song you want to hear by Lenny?
Or you can ask for genre, song. There's a lot.
Out of those 2,000 CDs, out of the million songs on them, you can narrow it down to
yeah.
That's fabulous.
In fact, we have a little surprise for you, Reg.
What do you got?
Watch this. Media Player, play artist Regis Philbin.
Oh, I like him. Big hit this album. Oh, I love that song. Who needs Lenny Kravitz?
Yeah, there you go. Okay, so you get the idea how digital media and music makes all this stuff possible.
It's incredible. It really is.
And I'm just going to exit out of this. The next thing I want to talk about is video. Because with digital media, you know, there's photos, there's music, and now there's video. We have a Sony camcorder here. I'm just going to turn it on and connect it to the PC. And the Windows XP PC will recognize that I just attached a device.
We're connecting this to that.
Exactly.
Okay.
I could have attached a regular camera. And what Windows would do is it would prompt and say, well, what do you want to do? You just plugged in a camera. Okay. What do you want to do? And it gives you a list of choices. I can record video using Windows Movie Maker. I can edit and record video using Adobe Premiere, software that's created by Adobe. I can capture and record DVMovie, the digital video, using Sony's DVGate Motion, which comes on this PC. Mm-hmm. So I have a range of choices, and lots of companies are providing those services. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to open Windows Movie Maker, because I want to show you what comes with Windows XP.
These are the movies you make.
Exactly.
Okay.
So what I've done, actually, just for expediency, rather than capturing all the video here, I captured the video earlier, and I started working on a little video project of my own. I want to show this to you, and I'm just going to finish it. So these are clips that I played from the camera into the computer.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to grab one more clip here.
You're going to do editing right here?
I'm editing right now. I just dropped the clip in, and we have some Lenny Kravitz. You know, we thought about putting Regis in here, but somehow we didn't think it would fit with the theme of this
video. I know my place.
Video. Okay. So now I've done my little editing, and then if I want to see it on the computer, I can just click play right here and watch the video on the computer.
So now you're adding the music to your...
I just added the music.
Fabulous.
This was a nice summer day in Seattle.
Yeah, you could... You're your own movie producer, director, and editor.
I'm trying.
Yeah,
it's possible with Movie Maker that's part of Windows XP and with some of the stuff that other folks are doing. So what I can do is I can create that little movie. But again, remember, it's what you can do with the stuff once you have it.
Sure.
I can save it to my hard disk and keep it. I could put it on a CD. I could send it to my friends or family by email. It would automatically make it small and send it out so other people could watch. But what I want to show, actually, is a really cool thing that a different company has provided, which is the ability to create DVDs. So this VAIO computer actually comes with a writable DVD drive. And a company called Sonic has an application that can create DVDs. What we did before the show today was we took that same video and actually burned a DVD. And over here I have a Sony consumer DVD player, just like DVD players that lots mm-hmm. of people have. I can stick the DVD in the drive. You might imagine I sent the video to my family or to my friends. They can take it home. I click play, and voila, they're able to watch my edited video on a DVD.
Wow. You transfer that from PC to PC, or you have to mail it to them?
I could mail it to them. I could hand it to them. Uh-huh. If I thought I was a really great filmmaker, I could put my DVDs in stores and try to sell them.
Families are going to love that.
All right. So that's video.
It's pretty good, Joe.
Thanks.
Awfully good. It's incredible. It really is.
There's one more thing that we want to show related to digital media. Now, as Jim and Bill said, Windows XP includes experiences that are part of Windows XP, but it's also really important that other companies can create and build even new experiences that are not things that we worked on. So I want to show an example of that. There's a company called Snapstream that has created a product called Personal Video Station. And what they're doing is taking advantage of features built into the Windows XP platform to create this program that lets you use your PC like a fancy VCR. Mm. You plug your cable TV in, and then it can record TV shows, and you can do all kinds of stuff with those TV shows once you recorded them. And the Windows XP platform makes that pretty easy for these folks to do. So here we are. To record a show, I just go click on the record function here, and you see this is a program guide from local New York shows here. This is what you'd see if you had this PC at your
uh-huh.
house. You know, if you see any shows on here that you think would be good ones for me to record, let me know. Any ideas?
I love that Who Wants to Be a Millionaire show.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Yeah.
So I can just click right on that, mm-hmm. and I can record it. You know, I can record it once. I can record it weekly.
Whenever it comes up, you'll record it.
Yeah. In fact, since you're here, I'll record it daily. I just click on that, and the application shows me that it's now added to my scheduled recording lists.
Mm-hmm.
So now the PC is going to automatically record the show whenever it finds it. Okay.
Is it one show per PC?
You can store lots of shows
okay.
on the PC. And in fact, I'm going to go over here to the watch function, and this is how I watch TV shows. All of these TV shows have been recorded. So if I want to watch your show, let's see how you did that day. I'll click the play button. The TV show comes up in Windows Media Player here, and I can go to full screen mode and use my PC just like a TV.
Boy, the quality is fantastic, isn't it?
Do you mean the quality of the show?
of the picture I'm seeing. I mean, it's really great.
Oh, well, we think it is, too. And that's what these folks
are
able to do.
He's a nice-looking guy, yeah.
That's what these folks are able to do with the Windows Media technologies that are part of Windows XP.
And only on XP Windows can you get all this.
You can do some of this stuff with other PCs, but Windows XP pulls these experiences together in a way that makes it really
yeah.
easy for people to use and adds new features and functionality to people writing applications. Now, I want to show you one more thing in digital media. Whoa, yikes.
You go down, Joe, we're dead, you know.
come on around here. Like I've been saying, one of the great things about digital media is what you can do with the content once you have it. So we have a compact pocket PC right here. This is an ordinary pocket PC people can buy today. And what you can do with Windows XP and the Snapstream software is actually take those TV shows and move them onto your pocket PC or your laptop so you could take them with you. If you want to put your kids in the car and give them something to watch, or if you want to have something with you on the plane.
How many can you take on that?
It depends how much memory you have. But you
right.
can buy little cards that extend the memory and keep
right.
a bunch of shows on there. So if I want to watch your show when I'm on the plane, I just click the link. And right there,
again,
I got
it's everywhere
in the palm
yeah.
of my hand.
Okay. I tell you, you boggle the mind. I just hope I can remember all this when I get home. I'm sure I will. What's next?
Okay, well, that is the digital video.
Incidentally, where's the big boy?
Music.
Where is he?
You know, I think he's out there in Times Square.
Still in Times Square? I hope he's all right.
Well, we should probably check in and see what's up with him now. So, Bill, are you there?
Bill?
We're here at the Virgin Store in Times Square. Let's go see what's happening. I'm going to ask the expert a question about what to get my executive committee for their stocking stuffers.
Hey, Bill, I know some people say you put the square in Times Square, but if you're looking for a rockin' holiday season, try any of these.
Hey, thanks.
My pleasure.
Pretty amazing they got Casey Kasem to do that.
Hey, buddy, you're going to be done with this XP workstation anytime soon.
Hey, this is really cool. We've got XP delivering 250,000 music clips, 11,000 DVD previews, and 7,000 video games. It's a great use of the media technology in XP.
Nice haircut.
Hey, what kind of music do you like?
The reigning prince of pop. What else?
Well, what do you got? I mean, look at that. Hey, the classics never go out of style. I've got one more stop to make. Back to you, Joan Regis.
Well, those guys have great taste in music, don't they? Actually, it was the guy with the tattoos who wanted to hear me again. So, this is a little video machine here, the video thing I'm hearing about, where you could talk to someone and see them at the same time.
You got
they
it.
They could see you.
You got it.
Can real people do this too?
Yep, and you're going to do it now.
Okay.
Okay, so what we have here is a compact Evo laptop, and we're going to talk about real-time communications and how Windows XP lets you communicate with people in real time.
Okay.
So this is an inexpensive webcam, and this is Windows Messenger. And I'm just going to get you started here. We created an account for you. This is your account. We put some buddies in there. These are the people that you might want to communicate with frequently. And in fact...
I see. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, there you go. Bill is one of them, and he's online right now.
Good.
So I'm going to double-click on Bill. And here we have a conversation window. We can have a conversation with Bill. Now, there's lots of different ways that you can communicate. In fact, you see, Bill just typed, "Hey, Regis." So if you want to communicate with him by typing.
Yeah, but I can't type. I got this. How about this? Hi, Bill.
There you go.
Is it easy to just make a phone call?
Since you're a guy who's really more into talking...
Yeah, I want to talk.
Well, let's just do that. Yeah. So rather than messing with this typing thing, if it's not what you're comfortable with, then all we have to do is move the mouse over here and click Start Talking. And what we've done is just like a phone call. We've asked Bill if he wants to talk to us, so imagine his phone is ringing. And on his end, all he has to do is click Accept to accept the call.
And he's got one of these set up wherever he is.
He's got a microphone where he is. So, in fact, he accepted. So you should be able to talk to him now. Try it.
Hello, Bill. Bill? Hi, Bill. How you doing?
I'm doing great out here. Everybody loves me.
Oh, you're out of Times Square, but I can't see him. Where is he?
Well, good question. So if you want to do that, just why don't you move the mouse up there and click Start Camera. Down, yeah,
start
right.
Start camera right
up
there?
Up a little bit.
Yeah.
Right there.
Okay, now here's where I usually get.
Right there. You got it. And so now you've asked Bill.
Hang on, Bill. I'm getting you on.
Regis, can you see me?
Not yet.
He'll be popping in here.
Hello,
in
Bill. Is he going to come on soon?
Well, he might be having trouble with his camera.
See what I mean? Every damn time I do this. These guys have spent millions of dollars putting this together. I just screwed up the whole presentation. It doesn't work for me.
It's not you. I'm sure it's the fact that we have this extensive staging here. What we're going to do?
Maybe Bill's doing something wrong. You ever look at it that way?
It could be. I'm going to try stopping the camera and starting again.
Okay.
He's out there literally on the street.
And like
it's possible that possible that his camera's not plugged in or not quite working right.
Tell me when to press the mouse.
Now, he should be getting his request there. Let's see if his camera comes in.
Little picture. Well, that's me.
That's you? Okay, well, unfortunately, it looks like Bill's camera is not working.
Do you understand?
I understand.
Do you understand what the problems are here?
I understand. So,
what happened?
Oh, actually, good news.
What did he say?
Bill's assistant is out there with a backup machine.
I'll talk to anybody.
So let's try that.
Get me a Koch back. We don't care.
We're going to go here and do start camera. And now we're asking Bill's assistant to do this, and hopefully this camera, there we go.
Does Bill's
that
assistant have a name?
Working a little better.
Well, there's Bill.
There's Bill.
Yeah, Bill, how are you? I see you. Yeah, we finally got it working here. You look terrific.
Hey, it's great out here.
Yeah, who is the guy with all the tattoos?
I really don't know him too well. I ran into him in the store there. He's a big fan of yours.
Do you still have a wallet on you?
You bet.
Okay.
All right.
I'll be back soon.
All right, good, all right. Bill. Hurry back.
All right, let's move on. Now, that's real-time communications, but what I really want to
turn this off?
We can just leave it.
Okay.
I want to come over here to this machine and talk to you a little bit about how other folks can create solutions using this Windows Messenger technology.
All right.
So it's not just what we put in, the video, the voice, being able to share applications, but it's what other people can do too. So here I have Windows Messenger. Imagine this is my work machine. In fact, this version of Windows Messenger is updated. And everyone who has Windows XP today can get an updated version of Windows Messenger. It's that kind of thing Bill was talking about where we continually improve Windows XP. So here's my Messenger account. I have a bunch of contacts. Now, the first thing that I want to talk about is using communications to make existing scenarios better. The folks from McAfee are experts at protecting your PC against viruses, and they've done a version of their application specific to Windows XP, and one of the things that they have done is taken advantage of this communications technology to be able to notify people when an important virus event is happening. So they can actually send out an alert, and it'll pop up on your screen just like that to tell you if you need to be aware about a particular virus.
Okay.
So that's one example. Another example, Verizon, actually the largest phone company in the U.S., they're doing work with Windows Messenger to make using your phone actually work a little bit better through the power of the PC. So here I've gone to a Verizon tab in Messenger, and I can see whether I have any voicemail. I can see whether there's caller ID for me. And one cool thing that they can do is they can tell you if you're getting a phone call at a place you're not. So if I'm at work and my phone rings at home, they can notify me with a pop-up telling me that I've just received a call at home. And in fact, I could even transfer the call from home to work or check my voicemail, and the PC makes it easy for people to find those kinds of features. Okay? Another thing that folks are doing with this, there's this company called CNM, and they do work with phones, and what they've tried to do is use Windows Messenger to help connect people over phones. So what I'm going to do actually is select a bunch of my contacts here. I won't select quite all of them. I'm going to add them to the CNM application, and I can do lots of stuff with these people. But what I'm going to do actually is start a conference call. I'm going to use my PC to start a conference call. And right now, the CNM network is setting up a conference call. It just takes it a minute, and then it's going to dial all these people's phones.
In fact, all of them?
It's going to dial all these phones and put them together in a conference call. And sometimes the cell network takes a little while. In fact, there are the phones, and we have a phone here for you because we put you on the conference call. And out there in the audience, we have some folks who have cell phones that we've invited into this conference call. You can go ahead and answer that.
I don't know how. How do I do that?
You just, the green button answers the phone, and there
Hello?
We go. And you're on the conference call. We're not going to spend time in the conference call. You get the idea. If I wanted
I want to be a part of the conference.
If I wanted to have this conference call, and if someone was being a pain and I wanted to boot them out, I could select them. You see here in the app, and I could mute them.
Yeah.
No offense. I didn't mean to, I wasn't talking about you, necessarily. I can chat with people while I'm having the conference call. So this really makes communication easier. And the nice thing about it is if you use Windows Messenger and you have a bunch of buddies, they're already ready and available for you to set up conference calls and do lots of other things with.
So you guys have joined everything. Every year you get a little closer to joining everything together.
We're trying to get all these devices and applications to work together in a way that people can get things done and then allow all these other companies to create great new services and features for their customers. The last thing we have to show, this is an application from FYE. FYE is a large retailer in the U.S. They sell music and video, and they've created an application for Windows XP that pulls together media and communications to create a community around people buying music and videos. So I want you to imagine that I recently visited an FYE store. And if I have one of these little FYE frequent buyer cards, they'll scan it in when I buy a CD. So imagine I just bought this Everclear CD at a store. And then when I log on to my PC, I can go to their application, click on, right here it says these are albums that I recently bought. Mm-hmm. I can click on this album and literally from any PC, click on listen to the music and be able to listen to my music wherever I am. So FYE is working with the record companies to make this kind of music, being able to distribute music to wherever you are on a PC, a reality today. That's one of the things that it'll do. It'll let you get your music anywhere. Another thing that it does is it creates a community around your friends and your family, the people who are your buddies. So you see right here in the FYE program, I have my buddies. I can see which ones are online. I can send them an instant message. I could conference with them and see it right here. But the other thing that I can do is I can tell which of my buddies have what albums. So in this example, my sister, Nancy, actually owns this album. And in fact, I heard it at her house, and that's what made me decide to go out and buy it. And if I want, I can share the list of music that I bought from FYE and have my buddies share that with me. So here it's telling me that my friend Chris Dangler has shared his music collection. So what I can do is go over here, load up Chris's collection, which means the list of music that he's purchased, and I can try to
bring it to your computer?
Well, I can look at the music that he's bought and see whether that gives me ideas for music that I might want to buy myself. So I can see here, you know, Chris is into Sting, Everclear, so that might give me an idea of what to buy. And finally, maybe I'll remember that Chris's birthday is coming up. I can see his wish list, navigate to something like the Shrek video, and if I want to preview it, I can just click on that, click Show Trailer, and the FYE servers will download the content in a secure way so that I could view a trailer for a video right on my PC.
You know, it just boggles the mind. It really does.
So that gives you an example of how the platform capabilities allow other companies to create lots of great solutions and deliver them to people from media to communications and so on. So that's about it. So we should wrap up. And actually, I expect Bill will be back here somewhere.
Where do you think he is?
I think he's probably on his way back to the theater. Are you feeling like this
here
is all going to work?
Yeah, here's Bill Gates, everybody. Look, he came back safe and sound.
Yeah, it's great out there. So Regis, how did you like Windows XP?
Well, I got to tell you, I learned a lot. And you know what I learned most of all? That on Sunday night, he and his wife like to sit on the couch and play conversation. No, I learned a bunch of stuff here, Bill, but I...
It really
knocks you out. I guess the people who are more familiar with it are really impressed, and I am too, but I must tell you, there's a lot to learn, but it's easier this time to learn it.
You
made
bet.
It a lot easier, and that's the key for me, simplicity.
All right, well, you've done a great job with the product launch. I wanted you to have, as a chief product launcher, one of these jackets.
Oh, how nice. All right, fine. Look at this. I'm proud to be a part of it. Thank
All
you,
right.
Joe, for everything.
Thanks for your help.
Thanks, Bill.
Thanks, Joe.
Thanks,
good
Bill.
Work.
Good luck.
Thanks.
Look what I got, Joe.
Well, during the demonstrations, I hope you got a sense of the breadth of partners that we're working with. In every one of those, you had many companies with new software, new services. Many of those are partners that we've had for many years. Many of them, like Verizon, FYE, Nikon, are people that are new partners to Microsoft. And when you build a platform like this, you've got to reach out. We've been doing that before the launch of the product. We're going to keep doing that because that's going to be very key to the success that comes together here. So more partners than easily fit on one slide, but a lot that goes into that. At Microsoft, of course, we are building some key products that show off Windows XP. Office XP, perhaps the most important one of those, was built assuming Windows XP would come along, and it shows it off quite well. We'll also have a new release of our online client, MSN version 7, with rich photo connections, rich communication connections, and a national broadband offering is shipping at the same time as Windows XP, and of course was designed to take full advantage of it. So all these things on top of Windows really just extend the experience. Where are we in terms of momentum? Well, in business, we've got a lot of major businesses that have moved even faster than we expected to get out there with deployments. Wells Fargo, Citigroup, BMW, Reed Elsevier, Anil, Commonwealth Bank. Worldwide, people are seeing the reliability having a quick payback for them, and so they're fitting it in to their upgrade cycle. That continuous improvement is very important to them. From consumers, we have the most pre-orders ever on this, 100,000. So those are huge numbers, actually more than twice what we have with Windows 95. If you go into a store to buy a PC today, you'll see that those PCs overwhelmingly have XP. In fact, there are over 5 million PCs worldwide sitting in stores ready to go with XP. So very key to this selling season that's coming along. So certainly since Windows 95, there's never been anything like it. We've learned a lot since then, and we're launching off of a much bigger industry, a much bigger installed base than ever before. And we think that will drive things forward in a big way. So what kind of things can you expect to see when you go into those stores? Well, each retailer will be creative in their own way about packaging neat new things because of the extra traffic they're going to have. You'll see that many of them, particularly with the Pro Edition, are including RAM. And I was amazed to see that you can get 128 megabytes of free RAM or even more in many of these offers. One of our partners in the 802.11 world, Wayport, is saying that all their connections will be free for XP users all over the next 3 months. And then the variety of deals, software add-ons, peripheral add-ons, digital cameras, all the things that show off why we've needed this new platform, the retailers have put neat things together that go around that. The consumer version is a $99 upgrade, and that's traditionally what we've done. The professional version is a $199 upgrade. Again, the same as we've done in the past, despite the incredible new capabilities that we've got here. So we want to make it easy to move up to this new level, and the retailers are helping us to do that. So there's a lot of progress that starts with Windows XP. Over this holiday, if you take all the different systems and peripherals, the total selling worldwide will be over 100 billion. The product fits into the need to re-energize sales, fits into the need to have this overall ecosystem tackle the new scenarios, whether it's cameras or DVD, or all the different things you've seen. And it's an opportunity to drive communications things up to a whole new level. So a lot of new beginnings here. As the computer industry moves into a phase assuming the much richer platform. As part of the launch here today, we are not only celebrating the product, but we're celebrating what's gone on in the spirit of New York City, the resilience of this city. And so as part of the launch, we have a free Sting concert that's taking place today. It's a free concert for everybody to go and be a part of that. And I understand Sting is already here and warming up. Let's look and see if he looks like he's almost ready.
Good morning, everybody. This is Sting here. I trust everything's going well at the launch. The band and I are preparing ourselves for the show at 1 o'clock, so please come over and have a great time. See you later.
So we're very excited. We're focused on providing innovations in software, driving the continuous improvement for a much better experience. And there's a lot going on here that speaks to this decade and what's going to happen in this decade. We can kind of sum it up in terms of saying, yes, you can. Neat new things, better ways of working together, driving the industry to help with productivity throughout all sectors of the economy. So it was wonderful to have you here today. We've had a lot of fun with this launch. It's fantastic, and please come celebrate with us at Bryant Park. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, you can pick up your copy of Windows XP in the South and West Lobby throughout the day. Thank you.